ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। भगवद्गीता फोर्थ चैप्टर ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज। श्री भगवान उवाच इवमिव स्वते योगम प्रोक्तवान अहम् अव्ययम् विवस्वान् मनवे प्राह मनुर् इक्ष्वाकपि ब्रवीत। Krishna ended the third chapter by describing the lust, the greatest formidable enemy, right? And he described how to conquer lust in the previous chapter. He concluded the chapter by that. So the last sloka of the third chapter is, you should steady this mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, and that's how conquer lust. एवं बुद्धेः परम बुद्ध्वा संस्तभ्यात्मानमात्मनः जहि शत्रुं महाबाहो कामरूपं दुरासदम्। सो कृष्ण स्पोक दिस वर्स, वी डिस्क्राइब्ड दिस इन द प्रीवियस सेशन एलाबोरेटली। सो वन हैज टू स्टडी द माइंड बाय डेलिबरेट स्पिरिचुअल इंटेलिजेंस। सो इन द फोर्थ चैप्टर कृष्ण प्रेजेंट्स ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज बाय विच वन कैन बी प्रोटेक्टेड फ्रॉम दिस बॉन्डेज ऑफ लस्ट। ओके, so Krishna describes how he personally has given this transcendental knowledge to great Rajarshis, the knowledge, this transcendental knowledge descended through the parampara of great Rajarshis, saintly kings. Rajarshi means a king who is as good as a sage. He has the qualities of renunciation, self-control and many other qualities that are found in sages. At the same time, with all these qualities, he is doing the administration of a kingdom. Such a person is called Rajarshi. And this transcendental knowledge descends through this parampara, and the Rajarshis have received this transcendental knowledge in that way. Okay, Krishna says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. Okay, so I have spoken this transcendental knowledge to this sun god. Sun god is called Vivasvan. Sun god's son is called Vaivasvata or Shraddha Deva, you see in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So sun god is also called Vivasvan. So Krishna spoke this knowledge to sun god. And Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. Aham, I have spoken. Vivasvan Manave Prahaha. And Vivasvan spoke this knowledge to Manu. Manu is the father of mankind. And Manu spoke this to Ikshvaku. So this is the parampara. So the knowledge that is coming from Krishna is coming through this chain of disciplic succession. Fine. So in the previous chapter, Krishna described about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. Nishkama Karma means doing dutiful work in a detached spirit without expecting the results of work, or without a mentality of enjoying the fruits of one's work. That is Nishkama Karma. And that by performing that Nishkama Karma Yoga, one should gradually develop knowledge. We have discussed this very elaborately earlier. So by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, one has to develop transcendental knowledge. So that means Jnana becomes the culmination of this Nishkama Karma Yoga. Fine. So the goal of Nishkama Karma is Jnana, and that Jnana is described in this particular chapter, in this fourth chapter, transcendental knowledge. Okay, and the glories of the transcendental knowledge are also described. First, Krishna describes the parampara of this knowledge. Fine. So, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Prahaha Manur Ikshvakave Abravit. Abravit means he has spoken. So, why Rajarshis are specifically described as the recipients of this transcendental knowledge, Anyone can receive, anyone who is qualified can receive transcendental knowledge. But Rajarshis have a very special role. Kings are administrators. They are the rulers of people in general. So they manage the human society. Fine. They take care of the needs of all their citizens. So they are leaders. As leaders of humanity, if they are well equipped with knowledge, transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge, they can make sure that their citizens also get that knowledge and they conduct their lives in a proper way. So that's how enlightening leaders is of great significance. Especially when the leaders are given spiritual knowledge, that will greatly benefit the human society. Fine. So that's the significance of giving this knowledge to Rajarshis or rulers. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of inhabitants. And therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage of lust. So the bondage is because of lust, as we have discussed in the third chapter ending. So to come out of that bondage of lust, one should have the necessary transcendental or spiritual knowledge. Fine. So when the Rajarshis are enlightened, they will enlighten their citizens, right? Or they will make sure, they will make some systems by which the citizens are enlightened, and with that enlightened knowledge, they will protect themselves from this bondage of lust. Fine. So that's the connection between the third chapter and fourth chapter given by Acharyas, right? And human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the executive heads of the states of and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture and devotion. By education, culture and devotion, citizens need to be enlightened by kings. So it's very important that the kings or leaders of the society have this spiritual knowledge. So, first Krishna has given this knowledge to Sun God, Vivasvan, the king of sun. So Prabhupada quotes this shloka from Brahma Samhita. Yachakshureva savita sakalagrahanam raja samastamutti asishatijaha. So yasyagnaya bhramati sambhrta kala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So sun represents the eye of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Sun and moon are like the eyes of the Supreme Lord. So sun has a significance. So like that, Prabhupada speaks little bit about sun and little bit about Manu also in the in this purport. And Manu has spoken this to this Ikshvaku, Maharaj Ikshvaku. In the dynasty of Maharaj Ikshvaku, Lord Ramachandra has appeared. So these are all very prominent personalities. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita existed in human society from the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku. Okay, it's not something that manifested just 5000 years back on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Actually, Krishna repeats this transmission of knowledge. Okay, although that knowledge existed with other kings earlier. So, Prabhupada says that it was spoken to the sun god Vivasvan because he is also a Kshatriya and is the father of other Kshatriyas. Okay, and who are those Kshatriyas for whom sun is the father? The one great dynasty, Surya Vamsha, sun dynasty is coming from sun. If you read the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that entire ninth canto is a description of only two dynasties, sun dynasty and moon dynasty. In the sun dynasty, Lord Ramachandra appeared. In the moon dynasty, Lord Krishna appeared. So these are very prominent personalities. So Krishna has spoken this knowledge to sun god and through him, so it just came. Right, in the parampara, that knowledge is coming in the parampara. All responsible kings have learned this knowledge in that way. Evam parampara praptam,
evam parampara praptam,
imam rajarshayo viduh,
imam rajarshayo viduh,
sakaleneha mahata,
sakaleneha mahata,
yogo nashtah parantapa,
yogo nashtah parantapa.
Evam parampara praptam, this great knowledge, spiritual science, has descended through this chain of disciplic succession. right? Guru, disciple, guru, disciple. Right? Guru imparts this knowledge to a disciple, and the disciple becomes guru, and then he imparts to other disciples. So this is called parampara. Evam parampara praptam. Knowledge has to be obtained in a bona fide parampara, which is ultimately connecting to Krishna. So the transcendental teachings of the Supreme Lord Krishna are transparently transmitted by acharyas. So when we are hearing from an acharya in the parampara, we can be rest assured that we are hearing directly from Krishna. Because an acharya is a person who does not concoct anything on his own. Right? His own ideology he doesn't present. He presents Krishna's ideology, Krishna's teachings in a way that the modern crowd can understand. Fine? Because they are transparent in transmitting the transcendental teachings of Krishna, by hearing them, there is a transformation in our heart. If the transcendental teachings are transparently transmitted, then there is transformation in the heart. Otherwise, there is only turmoil and turbulence in the human society. So if there is concoction, if there is speculation, if there is deviation in the transmission of these spiritual teachings, then the human society will be misdirected. You may, your understanding of the spiritual science may be incomplete at times, because one cannot completely understand everything about God, but it should not be incorrect. It could be incomplete, but it could not be incorrect. Whatever you know should be, you should make sure that it has a reference in our scriptures, right? It is properly explained and taught through the bona fide teachers, right? So, evam parampara praptam, knowledge is obtained through parampara. Imam rajarshayo viduhu, all these rajarshis have understood this spiritual science in this parampara. Sakale neha mahata, yogo nashtaha parantapa. But by the passage of time, this knowledge has been lost. Right? All the pure teachings are transmitted transparently, but still somehow because of the passage of time, so that knowledge becomes a little distorted, deviated, concocted, and then lost completely. The original purpose of the scriptures is lost when so many unscrupulous commentaries come into picture. Now, you see this. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Okay? So they have to rule the citizens. If as a leader, if you have to lead some people, so you should be equipped with the necessary transcendental knowledge. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demoniac persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. Whimsical explanations are not very much endorsed. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to re-establish the disciplic succession. So whenever the original purpose of the text is lost, Krishna comes and then re-establishes the pure teachings, or he sends his acharyas who will re-establish the teachings, right? And they personally implement those teachings in their lives and thus propagate the teachings. Fine. So Prabhupada further writes, because demons do not believe in God but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Right. So who is a qualified candidate to transmit this transcendental knowledge? A person who is a devotee of Krishna. So Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. And if someone is a devotee of Krishna, very loyal to the teachings of Krishna, he is sincerely following the instructions given by Krishna, if such a person transmits the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, that's more effective. Right? Okay, I speak Gita and I explain Gita, I am a scholar of Gita, but I have nothing to do with worshipping Krishna or devotion to Krishna. I don't believe that he is God or not, but I like philosophy, right? I can speak this Gita. That's not the right thing. So Prabhupada says right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita that one has to learn this science from a devotee of Krishna. So we are learning from Prabhupada. So third sloka. Saevayam mayatedya.
Saevayam mayatedya.
Yogaha proktaha puratanaha.
Yogaha proktaha puratanaha.
Bhaktosi me sakha cheti.
Bhaktosi me sakha cheti.
Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
Rahasyam hetad uttamam.
Saevayam mayatedya. Yogaha proktaha puratanaha. So Krishna says, this transcendental science of yoga, I have spoken long back. Yogaha proktaha punatanaha. Adya, today again I am going to speak that. Sa evayam maya te adya. That same original, transcendental, ancient knowledge, I am going to speak today to you. You today. Fine? It was already spoken earlier. Today I am speaking to you. So there is a transmission. When knowledge is transmitted, it has to come from a guru to a disciple. Here Krishna is the guru, Arjuna is the disciple. Okay? So they both are persons. So bhaktosime sakha cheti. And why am I giving this knowledge to you? Because you are a bhakta. And sakha cheti, you are my friend also. So Krishna found Arjuna a qualified candidate to receive this science of yoga, or the spiritual knowledge, because he found Arjuna very devoted to him. So a devotee of Krishna can understand the teachings of Krishna better. So Krishna himself says, bhaktosime sakha cheti, you are my friend, you are my devotees, you are a qualified candidate to receive these teachings. Right? Rahasyam hi etat uttamam. This uttama, rahasya. Tama is darkness. Uttama means that which is beyond darkness. That is very spiritual, transcendental, beyond the material modes. Right? So, this spiritual knowledge, this best of all knowledge, I am going to explain to you because you have these two qualifications. And rahasyam, it is very confidential knowledge also. So, Prabhupada writes, there are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. So Arjuna is a devotee, so he is qualified to receive this knowledge. So one needs to have faith in Krishna and understand that Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. So with that background, if he studies Bhagavad Gita, then the teachings will become more effective for that person, right? So faith in the Supreme Lord is very much emphasized in this. So Arjuna asks a question. So in three shlokas, Krishna said, this is the parampara system. I transmit knowledge through the parampara system. And who is a bona fide and qualified candidate to receive this knowledge? Someone who has friendship for Krishna, someone who has devotion for Krishna. So in three verses he said this. In the fourth verse, Arjuna had a question. Arjuna uvacha. Aparam bhavato janma.
Aparam bhavato janma.
Param janma vivasvataha.
Param janma vivasvataha.
Katham etat vijaniyam.
Katham etat vijaniyam.
Tvamadau proktavan iti. Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, aparam bhavato janma. Okay, aparam means you are quite younger. Bhavato janma, you have taken birth much after sun god. Okay, param janma vivasvataha. And vivasvan, sun god appeared much before you. And you have appeared much later. So he emphasized it in two lines. Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvataha. Katham evam vijaniyam, how can I understand, how can I believe that you have imparted this knowledge to sun god? Tvam adav proktavaniti, you are claiming to be the teacher of sun god. Okay, it's not a challenging question, by the way. He just wants to understand the facts from Krishna. It's not that Arjuna is doubting Krishna's loyalty or his words. Right? He is not in a spirit of challenge. He is just asking. So, how am I to understand that in the beginning you have instructed this science to him? So, Arjuna, again, He is inquiring like this on behalf of all the other readers of Gita. Okay? He is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as Supreme Lord. Fine? So on their behalf, sometimes even in Srimad Bhagavatam also we see, so many hearers ask some simple questions, basic questions, that may be way below their devotional standard. Fine? They may be very highly elevated, exalted souls, and they are meeting other exalted souls, but they may sometimes ask basic questions. For example, in the third canto, Vidura met Maitreya, and Vidura asked Maitreya. So many people are suffering this threefold material miseries. So, how can they be protected, my dear Maitreya? Do you have any solution? And Vidura is not suffering like other people. So, he is already a great devotee. So, he is asking questions as if he is a common man. Basically, he is asking questions on behalf of a common man. Out of his humility, he is presenting himself as a common man and asking these basic questions, which may be quite below his standard as a pure devotee. Right? Similarly, we should not minimize the position of Arjuna because he asked this kind of question. Prabhupada says that for them only Arjuna inquires on this point, as if he were himself not aware of the personality of Godhead or Krishna. As it will be evident from the 10th chapter, Arjuna knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the 10th chapter, Arjuna describes the Supreme Lord, describes Krishna to be the Supreme Bhagavan. So Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. Krishna, you only should explain. How can you claim that you have taught this knowledge to Vivaswan, sun god, who has taken birth much before you? So now Krishna himself will explain. So Prabhupada writes here, Krishna would describe himself without being depicted by the demons, who always try to distort him in a way understandable to the demons and their followers. So to suit their own conceptions. Prabhupada further writes, to the demons, such explanations by Krishna himself may appear to be strange because the demons always study Krishna from their own standpoint. But those who are devotees heartily welcome the statements of Krishna when they are spoken by Krishna himself. When Krishna himself is making a statement, devotees say, oh, Krishna said it directly. They give more weightage to that statement. They attribute more importance to that statement, and they consider it very authentic and authoritative and conclusive and categorical. Right? But the demons may not have that much trust or faith in Krishna's words, but the devotees readily accept. That's the difference between devotee and demon in regards to accepting Krishna's statements. When we hear something directly from Krishna, then, oh, Krishna personally is saying this. Of course, it has to be true. Right? We believe that. Okay, but demons may not. But nevertheless, devotees will continue to keep faith on Krishna's words. Devotees will always worship such authoritative statements of Krishna because they are always eager to know more and more about him. The more one is eager to know about Krishna, the more Krishna will reveal to him. Right? If you are eager to hear from Krishna, Krishna's statements, if you value, then Krishna will reveal more. But if you have doubts, Krishna is saying this. No, Krishna said it. Is there anything else? Any other proof? Krishna is directly saying this. What other proof you want? That's what devotees will say. Okay? Because they believe that Krishna is God. Fine. So Arjuna's question is very relevant here and very crucial in establishing the authenticity of Krishna's words through his own words. So now Krishna himself will say how he is superior to Vivaswan, sun god. So, now you see, Arjuna's putting this question before the Lord is simply an attempt by a devotee to defy the atheistic attitude of persons who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being, subject to material modes. Fine. So, when Krishna speaks, things become very authoritative. Krishna says now, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Bahuni me vyatitani,
Bahuni me vyatitani,
Janmani tavacha Arjuna,
Janmani tavacha Arjuna,
Tanyaham Veda Sarvani,
Tanyaham Veda Sarvani,
Natvam Veta Parantapa,
Natvam Veta Parantapa.
Now, Krishna is saying, Bahuni me vyatitani, my dear Arjuna, thanks for asking this question. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. So many lifetimes, right? So many births or appearances you and I had earlier. Right? Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. Many, many births both you and I have passed. But the difference is, tani aham veda sarvani. I know all of them. Veda, I understand. Sarvani, all of them. Aham Veda, Krishna says, I know all those births. Natvam Veta Parantapa, but you do not know. Oh Parantapa, oh subduer of enemies. You may be very powerful in fighting, in a battle, and killing your opponents. But actually you don't remember or recollect all your previous births. But I know all of them. So, Prabhupada immediately quotes Brahma Samhita verse. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayavvanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau govindam adipurusham tam aham bhajami. So he says, advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam. Krishna has unlimited forms that are all very unique, non-dual, infallible and eternal. Okay. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam cha. Krishna is the source of all these great forms. Right? And how can we understand Krishna? If we are devotees, we can understand Krishna. Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. Just by sticking to some scriptural knowledge, of course, we have to understand knowledge from scriptures, no doubt about it. But through the medium of some scholarship and philosophical analysis only, that itself is not sufficient to completely understand Krishna. If we have devotion also, then we can understand Krishna. So by study of scripture, just by using intelligence and your analytical capabilities, without having sufficient faith in the Supreme Lord, we cannot completely understand the Lord. You are engaging your mind, your intelligence and your senses in trying to understand. But you have to engage your soul, right? Put your heart. If your heart is filled with faith on Krishna, then things will become more and more clear. So just by engaging your intelligence, by just doing some philosophical analysis, you may understand a little bit, but it's not complete understanding. Right? So, now you see, there may be a scholar who is very good at the language and Sanskrit and grammar, etc., etc. Right? He may understand Bhagavad Gita in a certain way. But there is a devotee who is worshipping Krishna, who is doing Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc., etc., who is living a lifestyle centered on Krishna consciousness, who is following Guru Parampara. And now he endeavors to understand Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita. He understands much better than a person who is just approaching it from a scholarly perspective, right? Without having a devotional lifestyle. Fine. So, now, there are many other forms. Ramadi Murti Sukala Niyamena Tishthanna Navatara Makarod Bhavaneshu Kintu. These are all various forms of the Lord, which are very authentic. In the Vedas, also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color, yet still remains one. Fine. So the stone, Vaidurya stone, like it remains one, but it can generate so many colors. Fine. So Prabhupada writes, that is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Now here Krishna clearly says, both the living entity and me. So Arjuna is kind of representative of the living entities. So both you and me have passed through so many births, but I know all of them, I remember all of them, but you don't. Okay? Means an ordinary living entity who is just an amsha of the Supreme Lord. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Krishna says, all these jivas are my amshas. So they do not have so much of understanding of their own selves. Okay, their previous births. But Krishna not only knows everything about himself and his previous births, he knows everything about every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation. Because as super soul, he is staying right within their hearts. Fine. So, we may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to the change of his body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Sachidananda body. Although he is appearing in various forms, his body has this nature of Sachidananda and he is spiritual. He is a spiritual being. Okay? All the way. He does not have a material body. He has only a spiritual body. So his remembrance, his memory is intact. He is not overwhelmed with forgetfulness just by changing bodies. Okay? And whatever bodies he has taken are not temporary bodies. So they are all eternal forms. Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana. All these forms are eternally existent forms. He just manifests them at times and then unmanifests them. But they are eternally existent in their own spiritual planets, in the spiritual world also. Fine. And they descend. Sixth shloka. Now Krishna further elaborates on the uniqueness of his appearances. He says, and thus he gives transcendental knowledge about his own self. First he gives transcendental knowledge about his own self. He says, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavam yatmamayaya ajopi san avyayatma. Krishna says, Aja, I am unborn. There is no birth for me. There is no beginning for me. There is no t equal to 0 for me. Okay? Krishna says that. Ajopi san, although I am unborn, and avyayatma, although my body is imperishable, avyaya. So vyaya means expenditure. Huh? Right? When you use something, it will just decline. But Krishna is avyaya. He is inexhaustible. Right? Imperishable. His body is imperishable. Our body undergoes 6 kinds of transformation and then it is perishable. Right? There is a beginning, there is a death. But Krishna is unborn and whatever forms he manifests and whatever bodies he manifests are all spiritual and imperishable, inexhaustible, never subject to deterioration without any material contamination. Fine? Ajopi san avyayatma. Aja avyaya. Bhutanam ishvaropi san. Krishna is the Ishvara, the supreme controller of all living entities. Right? He is the supreme Lord. Fine? Although he is the Lord of all living entities, although he is unborn, although he is imperishable, prakritim swam adhishtaya. In prakritim swam, prakriti is nature. Many times this word refers to material nature. Okay, but here prakritim swam, Krishna says my own transcendental nature, by my own spiritual nature. Okay, sambhavami, I appear, I take birth, quote unquote. Atma mayaya. Again he says, by my own energy. And this word mayaya could refer to his energy or it could also refer to his mercy. The word maya also used to refer to Lord's mercy. So Krishna, by his own spiritual potency, he appears out of his mercy towards the conditioned souls, towards the devotees, towards everyone, towards Mother Earth, towards the demigods. So like that, out of his great quality of mercy, he makes his appearance into this material world, although he is unborn. Although he is unborn, he takes birth as the son of some parents who are his own devotees, right? As brother of some other people, right? Who are his own devotees, right? So like that, Krishna appears in certain families or certain dynasties. He appears in Yadu dynasty because Yadu is a devotee. He appears to Dasaratha Maharaj as a son because Dasaratha Maharaj is a devotee. So like that, he appears in this world in certain dynasties, in certain families, to certain parents, assuming certain varanas, right? He appeared as a kshatriya, okay? But he grew up as a vaishya in Gokul. Then again, he came back to Mathura and Dwaraka, and then he manifested himself as a kshatriya. So like that, all these are just a part of his pastime. But he is aja, he is unborn, right? We cannot attribute any material things or impositions on him, fine? So that is the uniqueness of Krishna's appearance. We need to understand, he appears, quote unquote, he takes birth as the son of some devotees, but he is aja, unborn. He appears in a human form, but his body is imperishable, avyaya, ajopisan avyayatma. Although he appears as one of the human beings, he is the Lord of all beings. Right? Bhutanam Ishwaropisan. Understand these three things about Krishna. He appears, of course, but he appears, although he appears, he is Aja, unborn, Avyaya, inexhaustible or imperishable, and Bhutanam Ishwara, the supreme controller of all living entities, and his appearance is possible by his own Maya, means his own internal potency. Atma Mayaya and Prakritim Swam. Right, in the third and fourth lines, he said that I make my appearance because of the influence of my internal energy. But the regular conditioned souls change their bodies by the influence of the external energy that constitutes of three modes of material nature. So thus, the births of ordinary living entities and Krishna are not seen. Fine. So Prabhupada writes that the Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of his birth. Although he may appear like an ordinary person, he remembers everything of his many, many past births, quote unquote. He would surely have that dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. An ordinary being, he may not even remember what he was doing yesterday at the same time. Yesterday 5:30, what did you do? He just scratches his head for a while. He has to just try to recollect for a minute or at least half a minute, something like that. Even if he manages to say that, you ask him, okay, 5:30, what you are doing yesterday, you said. What were you doing at 4:30? Again, he has to recollect. Aisa kiya, waisa kiya. If we cannot remember what we have done yesterday, what is the possibility that we remember what we have done in the past life? But Krishna says, I remember the past life of not only myself, of every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation. To that degree, Krishna is powerful. Bhutanam Ishwaropisan. Right? Aja, Avyaya. So, Prakriti means nature, as well as his Swarupa, or one's own form. The Lord appears in his own body. Although sometimes he appears in the form of a human being, he is not an ordinary human being. He resembles a human being with two hands, two legs, two eyes, two ears, one mouth, etc. But that does not mean he is ordinary. So factually, his appearance and disappearance are like suns rising, moving before us. Now, Krishna's appearance and disappearance are often compared to sun's rise and sunset. For example, sun sets today. Is it the end of sun? Certainly not. So sun had set today in front of your eyes. So that means sunrise happens at some other place at the same time. So sunset happened at this place and sunrise happens in the other hemisphere. Right? In the third canto, you must have studied it. In the, I think, second, first chapter only, seventh shloka, seventh purport, Prabhupada writes, 3.1.7. So sunrise, sunset, and Krishna's disappearance. So sun sets here, but sun rises somewhere else. And sun sets today, tomorrow he will come again. So just like, similarly, Krishna just disappeared from this place, but he appears in another universe to continue his pastimes. Similarly, Krishna disappeared in this universe today, in the next day of Brahma he will again appear in this same universe, right? Again he appears. So like that, Krishna has a schedule. And one more thing, when sun sets, we may be affected with darkness. During the day you may not have to switch on all these lights, but during the night time when sun is not there, you have to switch on lights. So ordinary living beings are affected by sun's disappearance, but sun is not affected. He is continuing to give his light and heat at some other place. Similarly, Krishna may disappear from this planet, but he appeared in some other planet, but the residents of this planet might get affected in certain ways. Right? Devotees become overwhelmed with feelings of separation, but that doesn't affect Krishna. So we should understand that Krishna is always transcendental. When he appears by his own will, by his own potency. Right? He is not obliged or he is not forced to appear. Okay. Although sometimes he may appear to fulfill the desires of his devotees out of his love and affection. But there is no force or material obligation there. It's a spiritual obligation. And he does it out of Atma Mayaya, causeless mercy. Mercifully he descends. Because this condition, this material world is often filled with conditioned souls. There are only few devotees, pure souls. Of course, soul is always pure, but the purity is not manifest in the conditioned state. So this world is filled with people who are not in love with Krishna. Not many love the Supreme Lord. Why he has to appear? Some say God is love, some say God is light, some say God is impersonal, he has no name, he has no form, he has no attributes. Some say God is not there, some say God doesn't exist, some say I am God. So these are various opinions about God. But the God continues to exist right within their hearts despite all these opinions. Right? So keeping aside the authentic Shastric opinion, oftentimes the conditioned soul concocts some impression about the Supreme Lord, about God, and then unnecessarily gets misdirected. And such people, if they happen to be influential, they misdirect other people also. Fine. Seventh shloka. When does the Supreme Lord appear? Sixth shloka described the uniqueness of Krishna's appearance. Seventh shloka describes the time of Krishna's appearance. Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam dharmasya tadatmanam srujamyaham yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati. Dharma is pure authentic religious principles. Right? So, dharma glani means whenever there is a discrepancy in following dharma, okay, which is taught by the Vedic scriptures, which are direct orders of the Supreme Lord, then Krishna appears. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati. Glanir bhavati, when there is a discrepancy in following the dharma taught by the Vedic scriptures, then Krishna will appear. Okay? Abhyutthanam, he will appear. Abhyutthanam means when there is predominance of adharmasya, when there is dharma glani, discrepancy in following dharma. Number two is abhyutthanam adharmasya, when there is predominance of irreligion, right, or adharmic tendencies, right, non-alignment with Vedic scriptural injunctions, when that is happening, then tada atmanam srujami aham. At that time, I personally appear. in the form of some incarnation, right? To reverse the situation. Why does he appear? Now dharma took a low profile and adharma is coming into main profile, right? Adharma is becoming more prominent than dharma. Then Krishna wants to reverse the situation. Adharma should be subdued, dharma should become more prominent. So let me come and re-establish this dharma. That's the intent of Krishna when he descends. So that's the time. So any time, that could be any time, whenever dharma declines, Krishna will appear. The word Srijami is significant here. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation, because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body. Since all the forms are eternally existent, therefore Srijami means the Lord manifests himself as he is. Srijami aham means at the time I am created. Not like that. At the time I appear in some form which is eternally existent form. So now there are 28 in the 28th millennium of 7th Manu, in one day of Brahma, so Krishna appeared in Dwapara Yuga. So there is some specific time which is also mentioned here. So dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is that which is actually given by the Supreme Lord. Okay, occupational duties or the religion is actually manifested by the Supreme Lord. The principles of dharma or religion are direct orders of the Supreme Lord. When there is discrepancy in that dharma, then the Lord has to appear. So the highest principle of dharma, highest dharma is called parodharma. And what is that? Performing devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaji. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Paro dharma, or the transcendental dharma, or the supreme dharma of all beings, is that, especially of the humanity, is that which invokes devotional service, is that which is bhakti unto the Supreme Lord. So highest dharma is bhakti. Prabhupada writes here very authoritatively. The mission is same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Prabhupada says 2 plus 2 equals 4 is a mathematical principle. And that is true in the beginner's arithmetic class or in an advanced class as well. Okay. Still there are higher and lower mathematics. In all incarnations of the Lord, therefore the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with the acceptance of four orders and four statuses. This is basically Varnashram. And the whole purpose of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Fine. So ultimately, Krishna descends to establish dharma, and the highest dharma is bhakti yoga. Okay. Highest dharma is Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna's purpose in descending is to establish the principles of bhakti yoga. And even Kunti Maharani also says this in her prayers. If you remember, first canto, 8th chapter. 8th shloka. 8th shloka describes the purpose of Krishna's appearance. 7th shloka described the time of his appearance. What is the time? Whenever there is a decline in dharma and predominance of adharma, Krishna appears. And what is the purpose of his appearance at that time? Paritranaya sadhunam.
Paritranaya sadhunam.
Vinashaya cha dushkritam.
Vinashaya cha dushkritam.
Dharma samsthapanarthaya.
Dharma samsthapanarthaya.
Sambhavami yuge yuge.
Sambhavami yuge yuge.
Paritranaya sadhunam. To protect, to deliver these sadhus, the very gentle and pious people, righteous people. Paritranaya sadhunam. Number two, vinashaya cha dushkritam. And to also punish or annihilate the demoniac people, miscreants. Fine. Number three, dharma samsthapanarthaya. Okay. To re-establish the lost principles of dharma, Krishna appears. Sambhavami yuge yuge. He appears in every age. Krishna has multiple incarnations. First, to create this material world, he manifests his Purusha avatars and Guna avatars. Okay. After that, he appears in so many avatars. Leela avatars are there, Manvantara avatars, Yuga avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars. Like that, in various contexts, Krishna makes his appearance. Fine. So the purpose is to protect the righteous people, devotees, and to punish the miscreants, and to re-establish dharma. And ultimate dharma is bhakti, bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada writes, according to Gita, sadhu or a holy man is a man in Krishna consciousness ultimately. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualification of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood as sadhu. And Dushkritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada gives the ultimate meaning of this sadhu and Dushkritam. Krishna appears to protect sadhus and to punish Dushkritas. So Dushkrita is one who does not have Krishna consciousness, and sadhu is a person who has Krishna consciousness. So although Krishna says Vinashayacha Dushkritam, Krishna's intention is not to destroy the person, but destroy his mentality of being a miscreant. So Krishna is ultimately targeting for the transformation of conditioned souls. Krishna himself said earlier that soul cannot be destroyed. Okay. Now he says Vinashayacha Dushkritam. Basically, Krishna's intent is to destroy the demoniac mentality of the person than the demon. Although Krishna seems to kill somebody, definitely soul is eternal, right? Krishna is just killing the body, the demoniac body of that person, through which he is performing so many demoniac activities, right? So he separates that fellow from the body so that he does not continue to engage that body in sinful activities. So even when Krishna kills the demons also, he is merciful to them only. So this verse is not exhibiting Krishna's partiality. Oh, Krishna is clearly saying, I will protect my devotees and I will punish these demons. So much partiality. His party people, those who are surrendering to him, those are taking his shelter, he will protect, and other people he has to kill. Yeah, basically his killing also is his mercy only. He is delivering the person from that sinful mentality and sinful life. Okay, that's the purpose of his punishment or even killing also. Prabhupada says, as far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear, as he is to destroy them, as he did with the famous demons Ravana and Kamsa. So Krishna personally appeared as Ramachandra and Krishna to kill this Ravana and Kamsa and other demons. So he need not do that. But his prominent purpose is to protect the devotees. Demon killing happens as a secondary thing, but the prominent thing is to protect the devotees. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demoniac. So although annihilating the demons is one of the agendas, but that's a secondary thing. And that killing of a demon becomes a byproduct of the main product of protecting the devotees, right? And even if it seemingly he is targeting to kill that demon only, and he is delivering that demon, he is protecting the demon only from the demoniac activities. So Prabhupada further says about various avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars. So, and Krishna is the origin of all these avatars. Ete cham sakalaha pumsaha krishnastu bhagavan svayam. Krishna is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fine. So, ninth shloka. So, we understood the reasons for Krishna's descent. There are three. To protect devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish dharma. And the primary reason is to protect devotees, and the secondary reason is to punish the demons. Okay. And the punishment is also mercy. ఫైన్ 9th శ్లోక. జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం ఏవం యో వేత్తి తత్వతః త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ నైతి మామేతి సోర్జున. నౌ హావింగ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ద యునిక్నెస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ అపియరెన్స్, ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ అపియరెన్స్ అండ్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ అపియరెన్స్, కృష్ణ నౌ సేస్ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ అపియరెన్స్. జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం. ఓకే, ఆల్ మై యాక్టివిటీస్ అండ్ ఆల్ మై అపియరెన్సెస్ ఆర్ దివ్యం, డివైన్, ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్, నాట్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు ఎనీ మెటీరియల్ కంటామినేషన్. దే ఆర్ నాట్ లైక్ ఆర్డినరీ అపియరెన్సెస్ ఆర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ లైక్ దట్ ఆఫ్ కండిషన్ సోల్స్. యూ కెనాట్ మినిమైజ్ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్ అపియరెన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. వెన్ కృష్ణ అపియర్డ్, ఫస్ట్ హీ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్ ఆఫ్ వసుదేవ్, దెన్ హీ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్ టు ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ దేవకి. ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ హీ మ్యానిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ 400 ఫామ్ విత్ ఆల్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్ అండ్ క్లోత్స్. సిమిలర్లీ వెన్ వామనదేవ్ అపియర్డ్, వామనదేవ్ ఫస్ట్ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ కశ్యపముని, అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ హీ వాస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు ద వూంబ్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ అదితి, అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ హీ మ్యానిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇస్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విష్ణు, ద 400 ఫామ్. అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ హీ బికేమ్ వెరీ స్మాల్ యాజ్ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ బాయ్, డ్వార్ఫ్ బ్రాహ్మణ వటు వామనదేవ్, రైట్, టు ప్లీజ్ హిస్ పేరెంట్స్. ఎర్లియర్ హీ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ 400 విష్ణు, దెన్ హీ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. విచ్ చైల్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ టేక్స్ బర్త్ విత్ ఎ స్మైల్ అండ్ విత్ ఆల్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్, విత్ ఆల్ నైస్ క్లోత్స్, విత్ 4 హ్యాండ్స్, రైట్, స్టాండింగ్ డైరెక్ట్లీ స్పీకింగ్, హీ విల్ క్రై, ద బాయ్ ఆర్ గర్ల్ హూ ఎవర్ టేక్స్ బర్త్ ఇమీడియట్లీ దే విల్ క్రై, బట్ దే డోంట్ స్పీక్ అవుట్ విత్ ఎ గ్రేట్ స్మైల్ విత్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ రీఎష్యూరెన్స్. అండ్ ద బేబీ ఈస్ క్రైయింగ్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు రీఎష్యూర్ ద బేబీ, బట్ ద బేబీ ఈస్ బార్న్ అండ్ రీఎష్యూరింగ్ ద పేరెంట్స్ హియర్, రైట్. దట్స్ హౌ కృష్ణ డిసెంట్స్. సో వన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ మినిమైజ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, వన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ మినిమైజ్ ది యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఆల్సో. సో కృష్ణ డస్ సో మెనీ యాక్టివిటీస్ టు ఎన్చాంట్ ద హార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. సో కృష్ణ మే స్టీల్ బటర్, మే స్పీక్ లైస్, మే బ్రేక్ పార్ట్స్, ఆర్ మే రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ద బ్యాటిల్ ఫీల్డ్. సో ఆల్ దిస్ మే బి సీమింగ్లీ లిటిల్ అబ్జెక్షనబుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్, ఓ హౌ కెన్ గాడ్ డూ ఆల్ దిస్, బట్ కృష్ణస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్ డివైన్, రైట్. దే ఆర్ వెరీ ప్యూర్ అండ్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్. వీ కెనాట్ మినిమైజ్ హిస్ పొజిషన్ యాజ్ గాడ్ జస్ట్ బికాస్ వీఆర్ అన్ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ సర్టెన్ యాక్టివిటీస్ దట్ హీ డస్. యాక్చువల్లీ వీఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దోస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ వెన్ వీ హియర్ ది అథెంటిక్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ గివెన్ బై ది ఆచార్యస్. వెన్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ స్టీలింగ్ ద బటర్ ఫ్రమ్ ది గోపీస్ హౌసెస్, హీ స్టీలింగ్ దర్ బటర్ లైక్ హార్ట్స్ అండ్ ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ రిలిషింగ్. ద వెరీ రీజన్ వై ద గోపీస్ చర్న్ బటర్ ఇన్ దర్ హౌసెస్ ఈజ్ సో దట్ కృష్ణ కెన్ కమ్ అండ్ స్టీల్. ఓకే, సో దేర్ ఆర్ 18 కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్ట్స్ దట్ ఏ యావరేజ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ మే ఎగ్జిబిట్. అండ్ కృష్ణ వెన్ హీ డిసెండ్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ యాజ్ రామ ఆర్ కృష్ణ అండ్ అదర్ లైక్ వామన్ ఆర్ హూఎవర్, హీ సమ్టైమ్స్ సీమింగ్లీ ఎగ్జిబిట్స్ దోస్ ఫాల్ట్స్, బట్ దోస్ ఫాల్ట్స్ ఆర్ వెరీ స్పెషల్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్ ఇన్ హిస్ క్యారెక్టర్ అండ్ పర్సనాలిటీ. అండ్ స్పెసిఫికలీ ద వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రామినెంట్ రీజన్స్ వై హీ ఎగ్జిబిట్స్ దోస్ ఫాల్ట్స్ ఈజ్ టు గివ్ ప్లెజర్ టు ద డివోటీస్. ఓకే, అండ్ హీ స్పెషల్లీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ఫర్ దట్. మక్కన్ చోర్ ఈజ్ ఏ ఎన్చాంటింగ్ గ్రేట్ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. చోర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎ వెరీ గ్రేట్ డిజిగ్నేషన్, బట్ వెన్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎస్ మక్కన్ చోర్, రణచోర్, దెన్ డివోటీస్ రిలిష్ దట్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. హీ హ్యాస్ నో రీజన్ టు స్టీల్ బటర్. హీ ఈస్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ద ప్రొపరేటర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది వరల్డ్స్ ఇన్ ద మెటీరియల్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువల్ రెల్మ్, అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ద హస్బెండ్ ఆఫ్ గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ ఫార్చ్యూన్. వై హీ హ్యాస్ టు స్టీల్ సమ్ బటర్? అండర్స్టాండ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ డివైన్ యాక్టివిటీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ యాక్టివిటీ మెంట్ టు కాజ్ ప్రెషర్ టు ద డివోటీస్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఆర్డినరీ యాక్టివిటీ. ఓకే, అండ్ వై హీ హ్యాస్ టు రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ద బ్యాటిల్ ఫీల్డ్? హీ స్టేయింగ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ యాజ్ సూపర్ సోల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. హీస్ ఆల్ పవర్ఫుల్, రైట్? జస్ట్ బికాస్ హీ ఈస్ ఫియర్ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ డీమన్, హీ విల్ రన్ అవే? How can we believe that? He is staying within the heart of that person who is chasing Krishna also, as a plenary portion. Now the Bhagavan is running, and his plenary portion, super soul, is staying in the heart of the person who is chasing this Bhagavan. Does it make sense? So there is no fear in Krishna's heart when he is running away from some demon, Kalayavana especially, or who is the Jarasandha. Okay, so he cannot minimize his position. So janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah. If one understands this truth of Krishna's appearance and activities, what will happen to him? Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. After giving up his material body, he need not take another material body. Punar janma naiti. And what will happen to him? Punar janma naiti mameti. So Arjuna, Krishna promises that he will come to me only. One can directly attain Krishna's abode by understanding the divinity and spiritual nature and transcendental nature and the divine nature of Krishna's activities and appearances. One can never consider them ordinary. So, he is God. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is not an ordinary human being. We cannot evaluate from the platform or from the standpoint of a human being. We cannot evaluate Krishna's activities like that. Right? Although he manifests himself as a human being and performs sweet activities, as it is common for regular human beings, but still, all his activities are transcendental. Last shloka for today. And Krishna says one can attain liberation by understanding his activities in truth. Eko deva nitya leelanu rakto bhakta vyapi hridi antaratma. The one supreme personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. So, for different devotees, Krishna is capable of manifesting different forms to reciprocate with them in those ways. Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuhu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Okay, Lord Brahma glorifies this Supreme Lord Vishnu. Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti. Your devotees will contemplate on your specific forms with their specific and unique love and affection towards him, towards you. Tattatvapuhu pranayase sat anugrahaya. And you manifest in those forms contemplated by devotees, and you reciprocate with them in those forms out of your deep mercy. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrsaroja asse srutikshita patho nanu natha pumsam. You see that Brahmaji's prayer from the third canto, 9th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? You read recently. Good. So, after reading Bhagavatam, you come back to Bhagavad Gita, you will relish all the verses even better. So, reading Bhagavad Gita once is not sufficient. Bhakti Shastri, you read once Bhagavad Gita. Right? After completing Bhagavatam, again you come back to Bhagavad Gita. Then you will relate all these concepts demonstrated in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course. But we cannot elaborately describe all of them. 10th sloka. Vitaraga bhaya krodha.
Vitaraga bhaya krodha.
Manmaya mamu pashrita.
Manmaya mamu pashrita.
Bahavo jnana tapasa.
Bahavo jnana tapasa.
Puta madbhava magata.
Puta madbhava magata.
Now Krishna says, who can love him? Who can know him? Earlier in the 9th verse he said, whoever knows the divine nature of my appearance and activities, such a person can reach me. He can attain liberation very easily. He did not take birth again. Fine. But having said that, knowing me will cause liberation. Now he will say, who can know me? Who can love me? If you know him, you love him. He says, Vita raga bhaya krodha. Vita raga means undue attachment.